Morning, Jake.
You're live. Hello, and welcome back to another night of learning. This is Ellie Nyman. I always say I cannot replace Rabbi Mordechai Plotzker, but I will be giving shir in his stead. We are learning. Le'ila Nishmas, Chayim Baruch and Zavul, Peril Mas Pinchas, Mirim Liba Bas Aaron, Kaba Esther Bas Abraham, May the Neshama Seven Leah, May our shir be a refuah shalema. For all those who are sick, we are learning and dominating. For all those who are sick, may Hashem be a schus for Eretz Yisrael and for Klal Yisrael. Yeah, several nights ago, I spoke about we talked about the idea of Shiduchim. I'm going to go to the beginning of the Parsha, and we're going to speak about a different topic. The Parsha, Parshas Chayei Sarah, starts out. Sarah was 127 the years of Sarah's life, and it goes on to continue that she passed away. Rashi comments in the Art Scroll summarizes. Rashi explains that the repetition of years divides Sarah's life into three periods, each with its own uniqueness, and each period shares a particular characteristic of its namer. At 100, she was as sinless as a 20-year-old, for until the age of 20, a person does not suffer heavenly punishment, and at 20, she still had the wholesome beauty of a 7-year-old who does not use cosmetics and whose beauty is natural, his kuni. And so basically, she had 127, so her 100 was like 20, and 20 was like 7. Rashi notes as well, Kulan Shnei Chayei Sarah, the years of Sarah, Kulan Shav and Latova, they were all for good. And there really is a lot to speak about, but one of the things we're going to spend the next few minutes on is the value of time. That's the name of the shir, the value of time. So there's a medrash that says that one time Rabbi Akiva the Tana was giving shir, and as he was giving shir, his students started dozing off. And he said, to wake them up, he used a pedagogical tool. He used a tool in education that he said something outrageous. He said something extreme to wake them up. It was, I think, a shir in Tumah Tahara. And so he figured he would say something a little bit off the beaten path to wake them up. What did he say? And right in the middle of shir, he said, in the merit of Imenu being 127, Esther Amalka ruled 127 countries. And since that was off topic, everybody woke up, and they paid attention to the shir. The question is, the Chedusha Arim and many others ask, why did Rabbi Akiva choose this particular teaching to wake up the students? And the answer is because he wanted to teach about time. He wanted to show that Sarah lived 127, and in that moment, because of 127 years, Esther ruled 127 countries. And if you could understand that because Sarah's life was 127, Esther ruled 127 countries, why are you sleeping in the middle of Shiur when every minute is a mitzvah? The Rama Gaon even says that, I believe, every word of Torah is a mitzvah. That's how the Chidusha Harim explains it. And so we're going to speak about the next several minutes the value of time, a very, very important yisod. So I have in front of me Mishnah Perkei Avos, the Art Scroll. And the Mishnah says, Rabbi Tarfon says, Hayom katzer, the day is short, v'malachem ruba, but there is a lot of work. And the Art Scroll, the Art Scroll has a commentary on it. The day is short, the task is abundant. Life is short, and the Torah is seemingly endless. One should not waste a moment of the precious few years he is granted in this world. Life is a fleeting opportunity to gather treasure. Once the time is up, he can no longer earn anything. The Medrash draws the following analogy. A king gave his servant 24 hours to count the gold coins in the treasury. Whatever the servant counted was his to keep. The servant said to himself, how can I sleep during these 24 hours? Every minute slept is treasure irretrievably lost. It was for this reason, teaches the Mishnah, that Moshe did not sleep during the 40 days and nights he spent in heaven. He did not want to miss a moment of the glorious opportunity to partake of Hashem's mission. So Tosefta Terumos defines a fool as one who loses what is given to him. If one is considered a fool simply for losing an object, certainly wasting time, the most precious commodity, earns one this ignominious title. Okay, so in other words, if you waste time, that's certainly a reason to be called a fool. And we're not encouraging calling people fools. The idea is that you shouldn't waste time. Chidush Arim used this concept to explain the custom of presenting a groom with a gold watch. When a young man assumes the responsibility of a family, it's imperative they realize that time is more precious than gold. So apparently there's a minhag to give a young chassan a gold watch, and the Chidush Arim says that the minhag is to teach those that time is important. The sale will soon be over. They have a story, of course, recorded at the bottom. The Zolnagon lives with this sense that of the fleeting opportunity this world presents us. Shortly before he died, this is a kind of famous story, he was seen holding his sister and crying. He explained to his followers, "Soon I will be leaving this world. Here, for just a few pennies, I can buy sisters and fulfill the mitzvah every minute of the day and day after. Before long, I will be in a world where I will not be able to purchase that opportunity even for millions." So he was saying that just for a few moments, that if you wear tzitzis, so it's such an easy mitzvah because you put it on yourself and you just, you know, you could sort of forget about it and you get tzar for every second. So he missed the opportunity. It really does present a particular topic, time. I'll speak for a little bit and tell a few stories. It is recorded, it is said that the Vilna Gaon, when they found his diary, so they wanted to know what was written in it. And I've heard different versions, but they found out that he kept an accounting of how much time that he wasted. And I think it was 2 minutes. I heard 2 minutes or 17 minutes. So it was something very, several minutes, an entire year. An entire year he recounted how many minutes of the year he wasted. Now let's keep in mind, he wasn't playing game, he wasn't playing basketball, he wasn't, eating big fancy meals. He actually believed in very tiny meals. But somehow on his level, whatever that was, and it's hard for me to comment exactly, but whatever it is, he made sure every moment, and I guess every second or every minute of his life was accounted for something that was positive, something that was meaningful. And so when he counted 2 minutes, that was 2 minutes that I guess he was either sleeping too much or eating too much. This is, of course, a very high level. But the idea is we don't have to necessarily keep an accounting of time, although it might be nice and important. But it's rather not to waste our time. Well, I remember when I was in yeshiva, we called it bittul zman. Bittul zman means you kill time, and we often don't realize that that's certainly not a Jewish idea, and we really do not have even 80, 90 years is really goes by faster than we realize. If we're lucky, we get 100 years, and sometimes it's close, but not even much. So it's to use it certainly for I've long said that for the Vilna Gaon, okay, that was Talmud Torah. For us, we can still use it constructively, spending time with family, doing chesed. It doesn't have to necessarily be to the Vilna Gaon's caliber. He was certainly not a very high madrega, but at least to spend it in a productive, meaningful way. And even when we can't account for, you know, 2 minutes a year, but certainly not to waste whole days and whole weeks and whole long periods of time. That's not what we're here for. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. And I would like to mention as well, in the couple of minutes that we have, that really as much as important as it is not to waste our own time, which is very important, as I've explained, it's even more important not to waste other people's time. And I see it all the time, and I'll tell you an unbelievable story. I remember I went to go see Rav Reuven Feinstein Shlita, and he told me that he went to Eretz Yisrael, and somebody asked him to go see Rav Yashiv, that's out. And he told me, I said, no, I'm not going to see Rav Yashiv. And I was very puzzled and very surprised, and he continued to explain. I didn't want to go see Rav Yashiv because I had no interest in wasting his time. I didn't have any issue that I had to discuss with him. If I had an issue, he explained, I would have gone to see him. But I had no issue to discuss with him, just to be there so that people could take pictures and go, oh, that's what they wanted. They wanted a picture of, they call it a photo op. that people could just see if there's two rabbis, oh, the two big rabbis are together. He knows who he is. And so he said to me, I don't want to do that. I have no interest in wasting Rabbi Yashu's itself time. And I think it's an unbelievable lesson that unfortunately I see too often. Imagine what could have been from two rabbis coming together, and still he didn't want to do it because he didn't want to waste another Rav's time. It really isn't a matter of even a big rabbi. Even for somebody who's not a big rabbi, you shouldn't waste their time. It is a very important thing, and it happens, I think, too often in various contexts that people waste each other's time. And it is a very big avera because when people want to do things, they want to accomplish. If a person wants to waste their own time, that's a big avera. If you waste other people's time, that's even a bigger avera. Whether it's at work, in employment, to take off time and be paid for it. Certainly it's a big avera, probably Geneva. It's probably Geneva, but it certainly is some sort of theft. Whether it's going, asking somebody for time that they're supposed to be paid like by a doctor, and you just ask them for a 2-minute question, and I've heard this before, and it takes 3 hours, and that's not appropriate. Sometimes it happens sometimes that people, they talk for a very long time when you have to go somewhere and do something. A big avera there, you're stopping them from potentially doing very important, meaningful things. I try to be very careful about wasting people's time in various contexts. It's very important. And instead of wasting other people's time, we should be focusing on good things to do. I remember Rabbi Reuven Feinstein told me, he was telling me stories about his father, Moshe, and others that they wasted rabbinic time. It was sometimes it was important, and sometimes for whatever reason they wasted the rabbi's time. And the rabbis tried to not be such a kapdan. They tried not to get angry and whatever, but it wasn't always so easy. It's not good. I know of shul rabbis and various others who their time is very precious. They're extremely busy people, and if you have important matter, so that's one thing. But not a trivial matter, not. And it doesn't even matter if you're a shul rabbi or whatever you do. You shouldn't waste other people's time. If you promise that you're only going to be 10 minutes at somebody's house or a visit, you shouldn't spend 3 hours. People have schedules. And it's a big avera to waste people's time. And we see from this week's parsha, from Parsha Sky Esara, that when we learn out from Esther, in the merit of Sarah's 127 years, Esther ruled 127 countries. Rabbi Akiva berated his Talmidim for wasting time. It's important for us to realize that if we improve our midos, so we'll see the value of time. And we'll accomplish a lot in our lives. Wishing everybody bracha, tzlacha, and learning. Live Torah, love Torah, learn Torah. Have a wonderful night. Thank you very much for that.